All right. Well, welcome everyone tonight to our midweek prayer meeting service. Praise the Lord for midweek meetings. I tell you, I need church tonight. I need church tonight. I need the Lord of the church. I need you tonight. I need to be around you. It has been a week this week. And Brother David says it's only Wednesday. But we'll get through it one way or the other. We'll get through it. And but it's so good to be here this evening. And I'll just go ahead and start off with a prayer request like we do. But I want to start with me tonight, if I could. And won't go into no great detail. But if you don't mind, just continue to remember Christy at work. Some big things going on there. And remember her there. And remember down at the schoolhouse, if you would, please, over at Grace. We're trying to finish out the year, and it just seems like every single day is something new. And it's just, of course, I'm laughing now. I'm glad I'm laughing. I'm glad I'm laughing right now, because about 30 minutes ago, I wasn't. And I'm just trying to get Lily to finish up his school year. Nothing, no bad behavior on her part. It's just the devil getting in there. It's the devil getting in there and doing this, you know, and he knows how to hit that one vein one particular vein, you know, that makes your light switch turn off or turn on. But anyway, we're here tonight to praise the Lord. We're here tonight to pray, and we're here tonight to get in God's word. But I do ask you for your prayers concerning my family, and just another hurdle we'll get over. But anyway, let's remember one another in prayer. We were just talking about the Sandvies just a moment ago, and me and Miss Glenda and then Miss BJ were discussing the Sandvies. Pray for Miss Marianne. Of course, she needs our prayers. Y'all know the role of the caretaker is a big deal. And I keep going back to Miss Barbara Anderson, because it seems like that I was more in contact with her during her experience than anybody else here as of late. But, you know, she took care of her husband. Of course, we weren't here at that time. Miss Barbara Anderson did that. And then Barbara Ann. Well, we were here the majority of that time, or at least half that time. And, you know, husband passed away, Barbara Ann passed away. And then it's like the very next week, you know, Miss Barbara goes to leave her house or something or another, and then she falls and hits the floor and had a stroke. And so, and of course, y'all know she's been over at the Tranquility, or been over at the home here in Powder Springs for, well, at least a couple years now. And so the role of a caretaker, and of course there's many in the church right now that's assuming that role, has a loved one, has somebody, some circumstance, some situation where you're having to oversee. And it's just a lot on a person. And so let's pray for Miss Marianne, but others that we may know of that are in that role of caretaker, overseeing someone right now. You know, and I know Miss BJ was with her today, and others have been with Miss Marianne as of recently. And you tell her, I know you do, you tell me you tell her, you know, Miss Marianne, try to have some time for you. Try to unplug and, you know, and keep on telling her that, you know. And she'll have moments where she can do that, but it's hard to do that. It's hard to do that. Miss BJ said that while they were off today, that the main conversation was Miss Mary talking about Brother Ed. And so it's hard to unplug from all of that. It's just a very draining circumstance, yet because of your love for that person, it continues. And so let's pray for all caretakers tonight, someone who is taking care of someone or overseeing someone's situation. Let's be in special prayer tonight for that. Brother Ed is he's up and down as far as being able to see and to realize what's going on. Last week when I went to the Tranquility, he was sitting up and he was actually starting to eat. Well, from what I hear, the reason why he was doing that is because he was just aroused from all the company, people talking to him, you know, and so that made him feel better. But he's not doing that good at all. There's a lot of aggression with him right now and different things. So remember him. He is at home. Remember Miss Marianne, Miss Cassie. She also helps take care of him. And so just the whole situation, we will be lifting up the Sanveys. Let's remember the Teagues, Helen Bennett, Randy and Diane Ely. Let's remember our children's home. Brother Bobby, Miss Nancy, let's continue to remember them. And I know Miss Nancy weekly, if not every other day or something like that, a couple days a week, maybe more, takes care of her daughter, or at least goes over to see if she needs anything. And so, Miss Nancy, you know we're praying for you through this, and Brother Bobby and Kelly, your daughter. Speaking of that, I ran into Kelly, Miss Nancy and Brother Bob's daughter, over at a Target last week, and was able to see her and hug her. And I told her, I said, hey, you can walk with me and Lily if you want to, you know, if you know, you don't have nothing to do, you're leaving. But, you know, just a little bit of kindness, a little bit of thinking of someone and letting them know you're thinking of them, it goes a long way. And so let's remember to do that for one another. All right, let's remember the Bendys. I haven't heard from them this week, Shauna and Michael. Last I heard, they went to Alabama to go visit her side, his side, for Mother's Day. So I'm assuming Shauna's doing better. At least we will pray to that end that she's doing better. And their whole situation, let's just continue to pray for them. Miss Cece, her mother with the breast cancer, Chuck, let's remember him. David and Glenda and their families, Ruby Harper and her kidney trouble, Brother Harold Dolph, Leonard Dolores Palmer with Brother Leonard and his physical elements, James and Shirley Townsend, Johnny and Pat Eccles, Mary Kelly. Has anyone spoke to Mary Kelly recently? I haven't. So she's dealing with some things, I'm sure. And then the Daleys, Rusty and Chris Watkins, Randy and Janet Bailey, Melissa Slagle, Don and Carla Rich. Should be getting close for time for them to come over here, isn't it? Next week, huh? Brother Don, not long ago. Right. I think, is he officiating a marriage or something? Or going to go check on, they're going to, okay, going to a wedding. Like in New York or something? Yeah. Wow. So they got a busy schedule, as you know, the Rich family. Brother Don likes staying busy. So let's remember them and Miss Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clanton, Gerald and Francis Carroll, all of our shut-ins, McCrickers, Joyce Manning, James Tolan Brown, Peyton Cochran, Kevin Brook. All right. Didn't try to really rush through those, but just want to call them out. And if someone has an update or a different prayer request, a praise, you can let us know. Okay. Any other unspokens tonight? Raise your hand. Okay. God sees about them all. He sees them and knows them. Let's remember the young people downstairs and the teachers. Let's remember this coming up Lord's Day, Sunday morning, Sunday night, back on regular schedule. And I hope everybody had a great Mother's Day on Sunday. We had a great Mother's Day. We actually ended up at Bay Breeze. Does anybody know where Bay Breeze is at? Does everybody like Bay Breeze? Okay, you can do some damage in Bay Breeze. And we did a little bit of damage. Ma'am? Well, actually, some family had already had some tables. Their church let out a good ways before ours did. And so we had a table. We just went right on in, and menu and sweet tea was waiting on me. And all I can say is it was good, and I asked God to forgive me for overeating a little bit. Brought some home, and and took a good nap, woke up, made a little more, and just celebrating Mother's Day. But anyway, it was a good day. It was a good, good day. All right. Anybody else? Man, it's like a Tyrannosaurus Rex outside, don't it? Yeah. All right. Well, we'll have a time of prayer together, as we do every Wednesday night. And you can come down front. You can pray where you're at. And then Brother Jeff's going to come around with a song. And then we'll bring the lesson tonight. sweet hour of prayer. We know the answer, don't we? It's just doing what we know we ought to do. I like the part where it says, and oft escaped the tempter's snare. How true that is, going to the Lord in prayer. And not just going and saying, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for what you blessed me with. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You know, it's easy to do that. And when we do that, we kind of check it off of our conscience and we say that, well, we prayed today or we prayed this morning. And what the blessing is when we are able to go to Him in prayer and stay a while. And a lot of the time, if you're like me, I have to prepare myself for that. I can't just kneel down and stay a while praying. I have to mentally prepare. And but when I do, there's never been a time that I've walked away and felt like that. I felt like I'm running behind from my errands or whatnot. It always, always has been well spent time in prayer. Tonight we're going to mention some things. We're going to start in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 is where we're going to start, in verse number 3. And just an elementary approach tonight. Some very simple truths I want to mention that honestly has helped me this week. And I want to speak to the simple-minded person tonight, the simple-minded Christian. And so maybe if we're reminded of some of these things, then we'll be encouraged tonight. Tonight, I want to talk to you for a few minutes on this subject, ways we should walk. Ways we should walk. Just want to talk to you about the Christian's walk tonight. And I want to mention six things, six ways we should walk when we're walking with the Lord. We know that from the time we get saved, from the moment you get saved, then that's just the getting on station. That's the getting on part. When you ask the Lord to save you, that's when salvation begins and our walk begins with the Lord. And it's not to stop after that. I mean, I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but maybe I need to preach to me tonight, so y'all just got to hear me preach to me. But, you know, we get saved, but then it's not no time to stop, but that's the starting point when we get saved. I believe it's over, and we won't turn there, but I believe it's in Colossians. It says, as ye have received the Lord Jesus, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him. And so tonight, that's what we're going to try to do, is just mention some things about our walk. Number one, we are to walk continually. Walk continually. Now, here in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3, there's a spiritual aspect to walking continually. He says, are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? And so, in essence, he's saying, well, you begun in the Spirit. It took the Spirit of God to birth you into the family of God. It took the Spirit of God to His part in salvation's plan for your life. And He said, are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Meaning, you got saved, and now there's a life to live. And that life that we live after salvation isn't a life that's fit for the flesh to be in charge. You know that, I know that. But it's a life that's fit for the Spirit to be in charge. If the Spirit of God had a large part in our salvation in the beginning, then He has the prime part after salvation. Each and every day that we live, everything that we do, everything that we say ought to be guided and guarded by the Spirit of God. We get saved, and then not long after, I know me for an example, I got saved, and then days, weeks, months even, probably, when my feet finally got back on the floor and I realized I was on planet Earth, I realized that there's still temptations out there. I still struggle in the flesh, and the world still has a pull at me. And so I must walk in the Spirit or appropriate the Spirit of God to my daily life. I quickly learned that the flesh cannot fulfill the spirit man. The Bible says whatever is of flesh is of flesh, and whatever is of spirit is of spirit, in John chapter number 3. And so tonight, when it comes to walking in our Christian life, walking with the Lord, one way we should walk is walk continually. And that is walk continually in the Spirit. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Now, look over in chapter number 5, if you would, for a moment. Chapter 5, verse 25. Chapter number 5 and verse 25, he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And so he's telling us here that our spiritual life ought to be walked out. It's the Lord that brought it in, and it's us that walks it out. The Lord Jesus, he works in our salvation, and it's our job to work it out. It's our job to walk it out. In verse number 16, he says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Period. And that's true tonight. If we walk in step with Him, meaning we yield ourselves to Him. We're not perfect, but we are acknowledging Jesus in our daily lives. We're taking time to pray. We're taking time to read His instruction manual. We are walking. We are yielding to His control. In our thought life, when we have a negative thought, we do as the Bible says, and we cast our cares upon Him, or we do what Paul says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely. You see, walking in the Spirit is just merely acknowledging His presence in our life and staying in step with Him. And so if we do this, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. I think about it as a tug of war match. You know, in school, the tug of war goes back and forth, back and forth. Well, you have the one team on this side and the other team on that side, and they're yelling at one another, and they're grunting, and they're pulling. We're going to win. No, we're going to win. We're going to win. We're going to win. And there's that passion pull. Well, on the inside of all of us, there is a pull of passion. There's the flesh side of us. And that flesh is attracted to the things of the world. That flesh wants to know why things happen. That flesh wants to demand answers and wants justice and wants, you know, things to happen on our timetable. The flesh man is attracted again to evil things and has evil inclinations. And so the flesh man is pulling, I'm going to win. I'm going to win. And then you have the Spirit of God on the other side that says, I'm going to win. I'm going to win. And there's this pull when we're not walking in the Spirit. Because the Bible says in verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And there's just tug of war match when we're kind of the middleman. We're a double-minded person. We're unstable in all our ways. And so he says in verse number 18, but if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. And he goes on and on, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, every time I read that, I always want to back up and explain the end of verse number 21. Because if you read that on just face value, it's almost confusing. As I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So wait a minute, God. If I express hatred, verse 20, if I'm ever strifeful, if I get angry, that means I will not inherit the kingdom of God. That could send somebody into a spell of confusion. But that's not what he's saying. When the works of the flesh, when these things are your normal behavior, if there is no pull from the other side, that of the Holy Spirit, if these works of the flesh are your normal behavior, then those people with these normal habitual behaviors will not inherit the kingdom of God. But you see, those who are saved, it's not our normal behavior. We've been born again. The old man has died. We're not under the law. Our old self has been crucified. We are new, been made new, and we have new desires. And so he goes through all those things. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. And so, and then verse 24, he says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So the writer is not telling us that we won't feel those inclinations, that we won't be tempted to express anger and such. But what he's saying is, he's saying that those who are saved has a pullback. Those who are saved has fruits of the Spirit. And that's how you can tell that you belong to the Lord. And at least one occasion is by these fruits of the Spirit. And so he mentioned these things here. And he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So there's definitely a struggle tonight. There is a pull from those who are saved in the hearts of those that are saved. There's this pull. There's this tug of war. And so we're called tonight to walk continually with Jesus. And that is, we are to do that spiritually. We are to do the very best we can do to take off the old man and put on the new. We're to do the very best we can do and yield our members unto him as instruments of righteousness. We're to yield ourselves to his control. And when we do that, we can live the Christian life. Now, we won't turn there for the sake of time tonight, but John chapter 15 in verse number 5, he talks about abiding in the vine. He talks about staying with. He talks about yielding or giving yourself to daily. He goes on in John chapter 15 and he says that without me, ye can do nothing. And I don't know about you, but there's some times in my life where I've tried to do things on my own without God's help, and I felt like I was alone. Now we are connected to him. We are connected to him as a branch. He's the vine, we're the branches. That can never be severed, that can never be taken away. But the yielding part, the yielding ourselves, abiding in him as far as the sap in the trees goes, well, that can be hindered or not. So tonight, let us abide in him, stay with him, allow that sap to flow from the vine to the branches without any kind of hang-ups. Tonight, when it comes to ways we should walk, there needs to be a walk continually, and that is allowing the Spirit to lead us and guide us. Number two tonight, we're to walk not only continually, but we're to walk with confession. Walk with confession. First John 1:9, if you would. 1 John 1:9. That is the epistles of John. Where'd you go, John? There you are. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so confession needs to be a part of the Christian's life in order to maintain a right relationship, to have a relationship that is unclouded, no fog, no distractions, just a clear, clean, close relationship. There needs to be confession. Now, we don't confess to get saved all over again, but we confess again to maintain a right relationship. And He says, if we confess. Again, it's our choice. Now, sometimes I think about those in their Christian life who habitually have things going on, who say they don't feel close to God. They actually confess that they have these things going on. And you see, the answer is right here. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And so really, the stipulation is it's our part. It's our part. If we feel like we're away from God, if we feel like there's something in our relationship on our part, then we ask God, like David did, search me and see if there's any wicked in me and make me in the way everlasting. But I don't know about you tonight. I know about me. When I go to the Lord, it's not, Lord, if there's something in me, I pretty much know if there's something wrong in me that I've done. And so I confess. And I get it out on the table. God forgives me. One preacher said one time, keep short accounts with God. Bill Stafford said, be repented up to date. And if we do that, then there's nothing hidden. There's nothing dirty. There's nothing that's tucked down deep inside, because every time something comes up, we ask God to forgive us. And so we see that when it comes to our Christian walk, we need to walk with confession. I attended a class one time with Brother Brian and actually, who was that? That was one of Brother Snyder's sons, Brent. We actually took a business class together, right before the pandemic. And the teacher, it was down at the Marietta Conference Center, and the teacher had mentioned something about the cortex of the brain. He said, in the cortex of the brain, that's where all the thinking and the perceiving, the memory takes place, in the cortex. He says, if your cortex is jammed with stuff, then you'll find a delay in your actions. And I was kind of wondering what he was talking about. And then he got to talking about relationships. He says, if you have bad relationships and things you're harboring in your mind, in the cortex, he says, there will be strained relationships at work. And so the whole time he was talking about this, I was thinking about, you know, harboring sin, something unconfessed, and how it does hinder our walk with the Lord. So tonight there is such a thing as the cortex of the brain. And like the old saying goes, confession is good for the soul. It's very good for the soul. Because if there's something in our brain, something in our hearts that we have not laid out on the table before the Lord, it will definitely show itself in our actions. And so we're to walk with confession. We're to walk continually. But then number three, we're to walk cautiously. Cautiously. Ephesians 5:15. Just a moment. We're to walk cautiously. I want to shed this coat. He says in Ephesians 5:15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And the word circumspectly here means accurately. It means to walk with accuracy. It means to walk carefully. And that's how our walk ought to be tonight. It ought to be a very cautious walk. Now, we're not to be like the old saying, walking on eggshells. You know, scared that we're going to offend somebody or scared that, you know, we're going to step off the end of the earth with our next step. We're not to walk that kind of way, but we are to walk with caution, making decisions with everything that we do. We need to make sure that everything is well thought out, make sure we're heading in the right direction, little things and big things. We're to walk with caution. We're to walk accurately, walk exactly, and make sure the Lord is guiding us when we walk. I think about here in the New Testament, in the Gospels, with the two foundations. Some build on the sand, and others build on the rock. The sure foundation, well, that's us. We're building on the rock. But even as you build upon the rock, we have to make sure that every piece, every part, everything has been placed as the Lord would have it. And I say that because I think about the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Has anybody heard about the Leaning Tower of Pisa? Now, when I say Pisa, I ain't talking about pizza. Yeah. And we had pizza the other night, but I'm talking about Pisa and that Leaning Tower there. Well, I read somewhere where it said that the center, or it's off-center by at least 13 to 15 foot, probably more than that, off-center. And, of course, there's foundational issues on that Leaning Tower. But, you know, even as a Christian, if we're not careful, we can get off track. We can go through doors that we're not supposed to go through. We can, you know, do things we're not supposed to do. That's why it's so important, as you already know, to have a walk where we confess, have a walk that's cautious. Lord, do you want me to do this or not? Lord, should I go in this direction? Should I go in that direction? It's just having a very cautious walk, a walk that's accurate, a walk that's exact. Because we don't want to have a life like the Leaning Tower, you know, walking around and seeing everybody like we're upside down. It's a cautious walk. But then we ought to have a courageous walk. Courageous walk. I don't know about you, but the time of day we're living in, with everything that we mention on Wednesday nights and Sundays, the things that we are challenged with, we need courage. I mean, we just need courage. Family issues, school issues, work issues, we need courage. Psalm 23 in verse number 4 talks about, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And so we can have a courageous walk just by knowing the thing that we've always known, that Jesus is with us. It may be dark. It may feel like we're even going to die. But as long as we know that Jesus is with us, we will get through it one way or the other. Isaiah 43 in verse number 2. He talks about, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee." And he uses those words, when. And tonight, it's not a matter of will we go through deep waters. It's a matter of when we go through deep waters. And when we go through deep waters, it's a blessing to know that Jesus will be with us. He said he would in those verses, Isaiah 43:1 and Isaiah 43:2. He talks about in verse number 1 that we're his. He bought us with a price, basically. And then he called us by name. Then verse number 2 gets into the passing through the waters and through the fire. He said he'll be with us. And so we can have a courageous walk tonight just by knowing that he's with us. Doesn't mean that we won't feel pain. Doesn't mean that we won't feel grief. It just means that he's with us every step of the way. I remember growing up and being a little boy, and, you know, mom and dad were different. Dad was not the disciplinarian. My mom was. And boy, if I made her mad, she'd grit them teeth and raise that hand. And I'd go running. You know, and there was one time where I'd done something. I mean, I was young. I was probably 10 or 11 years old, and I stole something from a store, believe it or not. I did, Eckerd's, back when Eckerd's was around. I think it was a little He-Man action figure or something. Mom said, what you got on your shirt there, son? We got in the car. I said, nothing. So she pulled my shirt up, and I had that action figure there. And we got to the, she gripped that steering wheel. She gritted her teeth. She said, wait till we get home. Boy, wait till we get home. And we got home, and I ran in the house, and I ran in the bathroom, and I locked the door. And she came beating on the door. Justin Hales, you open this door right now. Justin Hales. I thought, I don't care what she says. I ain't opening that door. And we had a crack. I tell Christy and Lily this sometimes. They just die laughing. But we had a crack in the door where, you know, you close it, but there's just a big old wide crack. And after a while, she stopped trying to break the door down. And I seen her. She laid down on the couch. And she was watching the door. And I got to thinking, okay, just let her rest. She'll drift off to sleep. And so finally, she did just that. Her eyes closed. She was sleeping. Let me tell you what I did. I might have been 8 years old, a little bit younger than 10, but I remember it. I opened that door. Mom was sleeping. And I walked up right to the couch, climbed on her back, and I laid down like a little old puppy dog right there on her back into the couch. I definitely was younger than 10 because I was a pretty big boy at 10. And I guess I was about 8 years old. And I laid down on her back and I went to sleep. And she woke up. She said, Justin. I said, I'm right here, Mom. And it's like she never remembered what had happened. You know, I just got so close to her. And I guess she had pity on me, or guess she forgot. I don't know. Just a little funny story about growing up. Yeah, she didn't forget, but she, I think I got to her heart what I did. I got to her heart. I still do that. You know, I can still get to your heart. But when I was always with Mom, I didn't fear. You know, she would, again, she would discipline me, but she used to walk me into school on the first day. I had a big operation when I was 12 years old, I believe it was. And my kidneys weren't operating the way they should. And so I had a kidney operation, and I remember Mom was there. Of course, Dad was there. But it was something about Mom being there. It was something about the grip she had on me, you know. It just, whether I was being disciplined or whether she was hugging me, I felt loved. Now, Dad loved me. He just never disciplined me. That might be the difference in me gravitating. It sounds strange, but y'all know that. Like I tell Lily, I said, honey, I'm disciplining you because I love you. You know, I'm telling you, you can't do this because I love you. One day you'll know why. And so I experienced that growing up. I knew Mom loved me. Both loved me. But Mom is the one that got my heart. And so every time I was with her, it doesn't matter what would happen, I'd be fine. And so I said all that to say this, back to our life as believers and walking with the Lord, it may get dark, it may get dreary, we may feel scared, but the Lord is with us, as Scripture says. Sometimes He's addressing our behavior, but other times He's just holding us tight. But at the end of the day, He is with us. And so because of that, we can have a courageous walk. A very courageous walk. In the book of Joshua, chapter number 1, many times that word is used, be thou courageous. Be courageous. Many times in Joshua, chapter number 1, as Joshua gets ready to lead Israel. Let me mention another one. Not only a courageous walk, but a controlled walk. A controlled walk. And what I mean by that is, in 2 Corinthians 5, in verse number 14, Paul uses the phrase, and I say it often, he says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. It means that, if you go and look that word up, constraineth, it means some places it means Some dictionaries, it means to hold together. Other places I read, it said to overtake as a fever, to hold together, to constrain, to motivate, to constrain, to motivate. And so what he's talking about is that God's love is the factor that should motivate us. God's love is the factor, is that element that should hold us together when we're about to fall apart. His love for us, for the love of Christ constraineth us, or holds us together, or motivates us. God's love is that key element. Or for the love of Christ has overtaken me as a fever. Just being caught up with Jesus and how much he loves us, and being able to move forward in our Christian walk with that kind of knowledge of his love. A controlled walk. And then lastly, we'll finish a few minutes early tonight, a concluded walk. And what I mean by that is, one day we will be with Christ. One day we will drop this robe of flesh. We will be with him, whether it's by rapture or by the grave. One day our walk with the Lord will be over. And so that's really, with that idea of our walk being over one day, really motivates to want to finish well. Should motivate us to want to, you know, finish courageously, finish having daily confession, finish our walk consistently and continually, a concluded walk. One day we'll be with the Lord. So tonight, that's the lesson, just ways we should walk. Again, very elementary, very simple. Just wanted to throw out a few illustrations with a few truths, and I hope the lesson was a blessing and a help to you tonight. We will prepare for Sunday morning and Sunday night. Looking forward to it. And I'll go ahead and mention this. I said we'll wait till Sunday, but we'll make it official Sunday. I'd like to mention to the crowd tonight if you want me to.
That'd be great, sir.
Brother Richard is going to move his letter over here to Calvary. And so we have one more with us. And we love Brother Richard. Been a blessing, again, back in Florida Road days, but now Calvary days. And Brother Richard over there on that front row saying amen and everything, it's just, it helps. It helps. So we love you, brother. Welcome to Calvary. All right, Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you, God. Father, so much more that could have been said tonight. But, Lord, you know our heart. You know the hearts of those that are here. Lord, I pray that we would, each and every time that we come together, that we would share our burdens, Lord, that we would pray, that we would get in your word. And, Father, we want to go deeper in all of those areas. And so I pray that you'd help us do that. Again, thank you for those who come this way tonight. I pray that you give them a big blessing by being with us. Bring everybody home safely and bring them back safely on Sunday. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Anything to mention before we conclude? All right. Just always want to ask.